Open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 105. That's page 693 on the Bible under the seat provided for you. If you didn't bring your Bible this morning, grab that one and I thought we would pause from our study in the book of James here on Sunday mornings and look at a passage that is a bit more appropriate as we go into this Thanksgiving holiday week. Let's pray together. Lord, so grateful for who you are, and obviously this week our hearts will be thankful. I pray specifically, Lord, that we would really just list out all the things that you've blessed us with, who you are, and that we would truly be thankful to you. Lord, that it would be way more than just one day a year, every day. Lord, this morning we thank you for your word that you've given that we might have to read together, to study together. Bless this time now by your Spirit as we look to your word. Speak to us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at Psalm 105. Look at verses 1 and 2. Let me read them. Says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. That is essentially a call to worship. David the psalmist is calling us to worship. This is him calling us and encouraging us to worship the Lord. David is saying, come on, everybody get on board. Join with all the saints. Let's worship. And really, our worship of the Lord should mark our lives as Christians, shouldn't it? We are worshippers of the living God. Our whole life should be about worshiping the living God. And I want you to notice from this text this morning that you can express your worship in different ways, can't you? Notice first in verse 2 that we can express our worship in song, in singing, through music. It says, sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Now that is the most common way that we as Christians express our worship unto the Lord, especially when we get together corporately as a body, through music, through song, through singing. And listen very carefully, there's a good reason why churches have gathered together in public services singing to the Lord throughout church history. There's a reason why we as a church dedicate a significant amount of time at our public services to worship the Lord through singing and music. It is commanded in Scripture. It says, sing to him. Sing psalms to him. 71 times in the book of Psalms alone, we are commanded to sing to the Lord. In Psalm 47, verses 6 through 7, it says, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For the God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. 5 times in 2 verses, we're commanded to sing praises. We're commanded to get together and sing. It's an expression of our worship. King David, as you know, the writer of this psalm, was a worship leader. He wrote lots of songs. In fact, he is called in the scripture the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a skilled musician. Most of the worship songs that we have in the book of Psalms were written by David. And when he was king, he made elaborate provision for the worship of the Lord through music at the house of the Lord. According to 1 Chronicles, he ordained 4,000 Levites to be full-time skilled musician and worship leader. Now, we're also told at that time that there were 38,000 Levites, so more than 10% of the entire Levite body was called and ordained by David to lead worship and song. We are told in 1 Chronicles that he had 24 skilled, expert musicians. And then for each one of those 24, they had 12 musicians working with them. So 312 expert, skilled musicians. It's like 24 top-notch worship bands, with the potential of having worship music go in the house of the Lord 24/7. Elaborate provision. I want you to notice in verse 2 that the word sing shows up how many times? Do you see it in English? Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Same English word, two different Hebrew words. The first word for sing is sirah in the Hebrew, and that literally means what you would think, to sing, vocalist, singing with your voice. The second sing is the Hebrew word zimar, which means, listen carefully, to sing and or play an instrument. So that word would speak of singing praises to the Lord while being accompanied with instruments. And the way I read the scripture, there is no instrument off limit. Psalm 150 says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the lute and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes, praise him with loud cymbals, praise him with clashing cymbals. Praise him with the acoustic guitar, the electric guitar, the bass guitar. The keyboards, the organ, the drums, the percussion, the horns, the strings, all of it. We find out that when King David was in charge, he even invented instruments. The people were inventing instruments in the time of David. So there's this massive call for God's people to join together and sing to the Lord. Let me tell you, there's something really, really special and wonderful when God's people get together and sing. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Now, I know that some of you are thinking this, and I know it can be tough. Some of you aren't very musical. Some of you don't play instruments. Some of you can't sing very well. Some of you, the only instrument you can play is the play button on the CD player, right? It's your only instrument. And I realize that, and I understand that. And I know that that can be very discouraging to you, but let me just invite you not to let that discourage you. Sing out. The Bible says make a joyful noise. Make a noise. This isn't American Idol. This isn't The Voice. But then some of you might really feel kind of hesitant to that. Okay, you don't have to sing loud. Speak it. Pray it. voice it. The idea here would be to get in the spirit of worship. Join together with God's people and do everything you can to worship. I want you to notice something that the Lord showed me many years ago, which just completely unlocked everything to me when it came to worship. Look again what it says in verse 2. It says, sing to him. It says, sing psalms to him. You know, when we get together and we worship the Lord, it's not like we're singing songs about God. We're singing songs to God. See, that's what worship is. It's serenading God. It's singing to the Lord. It's you sitting there and perhaps raising your hands and raising your voice and singing to your King. And he meets with you. It's beautiful. I remember when this first clicked with me. I was blessed way back in 7th and 8th grade. Now, I grew up in the church. I went to a lot of worship services. But for me, until that point, worship, the time of singing, was just what you did while you waited for everybody to get to church, right? It was just sort of this thing where you just sang whatever, you know? My first visit to Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque, I'll never forget this. One guy with a guitar and two sisters in Christ on either side. And they sang these beautiful songs directly to the Lord. It was like they were singing love songs to Jesus. And Jesus was right there. I'll never forget that. You know, my first attraction to Calvary Chapel was not the teaching. Although the teaching has always been awesome and wonderful and good, but it was worship. Singing. Sing to the Lord. Come with that spirit of worship as we gather together in song. And by the way, keep hitting that play button on the CD player. Keep your houses filled with worship music. Keep your cars filled with worship music. Keep worship music in your headphones as you're running at the gym. Some of the most beautiful, intimate times of worship with the Lord can be when you're out on a walk with worship music on. Express worship through song. Look what else it says, and this is very appropriate to us this week. Verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's another way to express your worship to the Lord. Give thanks to him. And again, please understand something. This isn't David saying, be thankful. It's not like we're supposed to feel thankful. That's part of it. What David is saying, express your gratitude to the Lord. You personally. It's not just about being thankful this week. It's expressing our gratitude directly to the Lord. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's worship. Our youth group this last Wednesday night, Daniel had them do something interesting. They were make a little list of things that they were thankful for. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. They had that on their sheet of paper. Forget not all the benefits of the Lord. And then they wrote down the benefits. Boy, I think that's an awesome thing to do. I think we as Christians should do that regularly. Make a list. What could you be thankful for this week? How about the country in which we live? How about freedom? We thank God for provision, shelter, food, clothing. We thank God for our family and friends. We thank God for all of the spiritual blessings. We thank God for our church. We thank the Lord for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank God for the Word of God. We thank the Lord for His sacrifice on the cross. We thank the Lord for His victory over death. Amen. We thank the Lord for salvation, for the hope of heaven. We thank the Lord for His Holy Spirit. We thank the Lord for who He is. He's gracious. He's faithful. He's majestic. He's all-powerful. You know, you write these things down. And then go to the Lord and thank Him directly. Maybe do that around your Thanksgiving table this week as a family. Do that privately in your time of prayer. And by the way, do it every day of the year, not just on Thanksgiving. I'm telling you, if we can think through all the ways that God has blessed us every day and thank Him for it, say, thank you, Lord, we're going to be content. We won't be always thinking on the supposed things that we're missing out on. You worship the Lord by giving thanks to Him. And again, a lot of times when we come together corporately and sing, a lot of those songs are just about thanking God, aren't they? We're thanking God for who He is. Don't forget to thank Him. When our kids are young, a parent, do we have to pour a lot of time and attention into them? Think of all that you do when your kids are young. I mean, you're changing diapers, you're feeding them, you're dressing them, you're bathing them. You're doing all of these things for these little babies. And we don't get mad. It's not like we say to the little baby, hey, I just changed your diaper. Why don't you tell me thank you? Come on, man. We don't expect that of babies, do we? But when they grow up, we expect a little gratitude. I wonder how many Christians are like spiritual babies. You have the Heavenly Father just pouring all of this love and time and provision and attention into every aspect of life. And yet we forget to thank Him. Worship the Lord with thanksgiving. Look again in verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name. Now, the way that's written, that would seem to suggest that when you're in trouble, when you need help, when you have something that you need, maybe when you're in danger, that you would call upon the name of the Lord and He would help. And certainly that's something that we can do. We can come to God with any request. In fact, He invites us to. But there's another way that this phrase could be written from the original Hebrew. It could also simply be written this way. Call out His name. Voice His name. David is saying, declare and proclaim the name of the Lord. Declare the greatness of the name of the Lord. David is saying, praise the name of the Lord, as it says in Psalm 148. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. That's a way to express your worship. Call out His name. You don't want, not because you want something. You just call out His name. You declare the greatness of His name. One of the coolest studies you can do in the Bible, and if you haven't done yet this yet, I would recommend that you do it in this coming year. Make it a goal. There are studies that you can get where you actually study all the names of God in the Bible. And they are so beautiful. Study the names of God and declare His name. Jehovah, Yahweh, I am who I am. call out Yahweh, Jehovah, the self eternally existent one. You read of his name, Adonai, the Lord, the Master, Elohim, the Creator. El Shaddai, the Almighty, the All-Powerful God. El Elyon, the Most High and Exalted God. El Roy, the God who sees. I like that. You might be going through a hard time in life, and you just remember El Roy. Wait a minute, God, you're the God who sees. You see. You're there. And I praise you. I call out your greatness. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals. Maybe you're sick. And you come to the Lord and you think, wait, Jehovah, he's my healer. Call out the greatness of his healing power. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And that's only a partial list. Go through the Old Testament and study the name of God and declare his name, expression of your praise. You get to the New Testament. And as Christians, we're told to call God our Heavenly Father. Paul even takes that idea further in Romans 8. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is the most intimate way to say Father. It's Daddy, it's Papa. As Christians, we can call God Almighty Daddy. We declare the name of our Father. We call out his name. And then, of course, there's the wonderful, wonderful name, Jesus. Jesus. The wonderful name of Jesus. Which relates to a Hebrew word, Yeshua, which literally means Yahweh saved. And how did Yahweh save? Jesus. Sending his son. Call out his name. You know, in your private prayer time, call out the name of the Lord. Again, when we get together as a church and we sing, lots of times we're singing out his name, aren't we? We sing a song that says, shout his name. We're calling upon the greatness of God. All right, look at another one. Look at the end of verse 2. This is a very interesting one. It says, talk of all his wondrous works. Talk of all his wondrous works. That's a way to express worship to the Lord. And I want you to understand something about this word talk. It has two subtly different meanings. This is the Hebrew word siyah, and its basic meaning is this. Listen carefully. To rehearse something. To go over a matter in your mind. To go over and over and over matters in your mind. It's rehearsing through. And there's an inward component to this word. It can speak of thinking through these things, meditating through that, contemplating. One of the ways you worship the Lord is by thinking through over and over again in your mind, in your heart, his wondrous works. Constantly in your prayer time, just going through the list of those wondrous works. It says in Psalm 145:5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. And of course, this would also speak of meditating on his word. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works, the psalmist says. Psalm 119, listen to this. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. When you're up at night, when you're up early, you talk through in your mind. You rehearse through in your mind. the truth of God's word? Do you know that you worship God when you study his word? You know that's an expression of your worship. When you take that time to read through the word of God, you know what you're telling God? You're saying, God, you're so valuable. I want to find out everything I can about you. I want to know you better and better and better. So you worship him. And then, of course, there's this outward component to talk. It really does talk about talking about the wondrous works of the Lord with one another. That's worship. That's Christian fellowship. When we get together and we're talking about the Lord and his wonderful works, and we're giving our testimonies. When our conversations honor the Lord and we talk about all that he's done, that's worship. I've noticed that we tend to talk a lot about those people that we're proud of. Mom and dad, do you talk about your kids? Yeah, we do, don't we? We're very proud of our kids. We're always telling people about our kids. We're posting our kids online, right? We're showing all of these different pictures and everything. In fact, some parents, I think, get a little too carried away with their kids. But the idea is, in the heart of a parent, you're proud of them. You want to talk about them. We talk about heroes. We sit together in our coffee rooms over coffee and we talk about the latest hero, what somebody did that was noble. We tend to talk about people that we admire. Who could you admire more than Christ? Speak of him. Talk of him. And then one more way that we see in our text, look at the end of verse 1. I love this one. What does it say? Make known his deeds among the people. That word means nations. Among all peoples, all tribes, all tongues, all nations upon the earth. The job of God's people, we're to make him known. We're to bring knowledge to other people of the goodness of God. And so you worship the Lord, my friend, by living your life in such a way that's pointing everyone to God. It's making him known. That's worship. Several times in the Psalms, we're told to magnify the Lord. Have you heard that before? It says, I will magnify the Lord. Now, what does it mean to magnify? It means to make something that's very small big, right? Well, how do you magnify God? He's already big, isn't he? The idea is, as Christians, God is very big. We know him as the big God that he is. But my brother and sister in Christ, there are people in your life that don't know him. There are people in your life who have misunderstood who he is. And so as a Christian, you're the magnifying glass. The way you live your life reveals more of who God is. Make known his deeds among the people. That's how to express worship. Just some ways. Through song. Through singing. Through prayer. Through making his ways known. Through thanksgiving. Talking of his wondrous works. Calling out his name. Let's do that this week, amen? Take time to worship your Lord. By the way, worship. Really, if you want to think about worship, really in the bottom line, worship is about who you love more, isn't it? And worship is the idea, as Christians that we acknowledge God is the superior one. And we're surrendered to him, right? In fact, it's interesting, the Greek word for worship that you find in the New Testament is the word proskuneo. Pros means to or to ward. Kuneo means to kiss or to adore. So to worship is to kiss towards the Lord. And I found a really awesome example of how people greeted in these ancient times, especially among the Persians. When they would meet, persons of equal ranks would kiss each other on the lips. So if you were equal, you kissed each other on the lips. That's kind of gross to me, but that's what they did. When the difference of rank was slight, they'd kiss each other on the cheek. When one was much inferior to the one that he was greeting, he fell upon his knees, touched his forehead to the ground, throwing kisses at the same time upward toward his superior. And that is worship as it comes to us as Christians. We bow before him and we throw kisses. It's our love. It's our surrender. Jesus was asked that question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And do you remember how he answered that? "The great commandment in the law is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." We are to love God with our hearts, our feelings, our affections, singing. We're to love God with our minds, our reading of his word, our thinking through how good he is. And we're to love God with our soul. Literally in the Greek, breath, with each breath. The idea is love God with each breath. That is, love God with everything that you do. You serve him with everything that you do and you make him known. Let's do that. Let's worship him. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Father, I pray that our hearts would be reminded daily of who you are, how good you've been. How good you will always be. We do thank you for this wonderful country in which we live. We thank you for the provision that you've given in our lives. We thank you for all the spiritual blessings. We thank you for our family and friends. We thank you for all of that. And we praise you for that. We worship you for that. With every head bowed, eyes closed, let me ask this question. Have you come to understand the blessing and glory of salvation yet? Are you able to call God your heavenly Father? Are you a member of his family? Have you experienced being born again? Having the Holy Spirit come inside you and redeem you and change you? Let me tell you, that is the greatest blessing. That is the greatest blessing. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I would like to ask you to do so right now. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again that third day. And as Daniel even said earlier during our time of worship, he took your judgment. He took your place on the cross. He died in your place. You have a God who loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Receive him this morning. Ask him to be your Savior. He'll change your whole life. If that's you, I'd like you to pray this prayer in the quietness of your heart, with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you this morning. I want you to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again. Wash away all my sins. Make me born again. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.